Welcome to the podcast of Battle Focus Ministries, equipping Christian saints for spiritual warfare. Thank you for joining with us today. If you are listening to us live and have a question or comment on today's topic, you may call in at the number listed on the webpage. Please be patient. There may be delays due to network speed. Also, you may post your comments or questions on our page at Blog Talk Radio or on our Facebook ministry page. Hello, I'm Robert Sims, broadcasting from the Seattle, Washington area. Thank you for joining us at Battle Focus Ministries Sergeant's Time. Today we'll be teaching from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. We're in part 8 of our series, Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. Today we're going to be talking about being alert and persevering while on the spiritual battlefield. In previous weeks, we have studied the book of Ephesians, and the last couple of weeks we've looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, being strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And last week we looked at verses 11 through 17 about the putting on and keeping on the whole armor of God. Today we're again picking back up where we left in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me, speaking of Paul, in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Today we're going to emphasize that second phrase of verse 18, To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Next week, we're going to study the bookends of that phrase about prayer. But before we get to prayer and being a prayer warrior next week, I did want to take a look at being alert and doing so with perseverance on the battlefield. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word and the power of the Holy Spirit revealing yourself, revealing your Son, and revealing your truth to us so that we can have new life and your power to be transformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to have victory over this world, to have victory over the enemy, and to live with you moment by moment, and to have an eternal inheritance with your Son in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Paul writes, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. When Paul writes, to that end, or for that purpose, what is he talking about? It could be the beginning of that little phrase, pray in verse 18, praying at all times. To that end, keep alert. Certainly, watching and alertness is connected with prayer at several times in Scripture. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul commands, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We're mindful of the story of Jesus at Gethsemane, and he's asked his disciples to join him and to continue watching in prayer with him. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. And Jesus came to the disciples after he had been praying and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We also think of Acts chapter 20 and verses 29 through 31. At Paul's farewell speech to the church at Ephesus, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for the 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. Paul for a space of 3 years, prayed and warned the church to be alert because he knew the days were coming that the enemy would be approaching. Jesus warned that to be alert and to pray because the weakness of the flesh was ever present. Certainly we should be watchful and alert in our prayers with all perseverance. But is that the purpose and the end that Paul was writing for in this verse? I would argue that he's actually talking about verse 11 and verses 13 through 14. To stand. Stand against the schemes of the devil, verse 11. Keep alert with all perseverance. To withstand in the evil day, keep alert with all perseverance. Having done all, to stand firm in verse 13, with all to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Just like being watchful and alert is connected with prayer in Scripture, so is it for simply standing firm in the face, in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul writes, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9, in context, that God was comparing Ezekiel as a prophet to be a watchman on the wall. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a watchman, take a man among them and make him a watchman. And if he sees the sword coming upon the Lord, crushing upon the land, and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Continuing in verse 7, Lord speaking, so you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Oh, how precious is the duty to watch over the lives of others. And the duty to watch over their lives will be required. We will give an account as watchmen on the wall for the lives of others. And yes, Ezekiel is in context about standing watch over the nation of Israel. But we can take that as an example as shepherds of God's flock in the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God. Shepherds don't just feed their flock. They guard the flock from the approach of the wolves. They guard the flock against their own. They guard the sheep from going out into the woods and putting themselves in danger. they guard the sheep from stumbling into the ravines and breaking a leg. But certainly they guard the sheep from the external dangers of whatever the equivalent of a sheep rustler is, from a cow rustler, from wolves that would sneak in and eat the sheep. We are called as both pastors and as elders to shepherd the flock of God. Continuing in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jesus spoke of himself in John chapter 10 and verse 11 as the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. More important than his own well-being is the flock that he has been called to watch over. Certainly that's the motivation and light manners for soldiers on guard duty. They hold the lives of those that have been entrusted to their care, their brothers and sisters to their left and right, and those resting inside the camp. And knowing the preciousness of that life and the necessity of the duty to keep watch, they keep alert. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, Paul writes to young Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard against that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Like soldiers who have been entrusted with the lives of others, Christians who have been entrusted the gospel, that is the only source of life and immortality to those inside the camp and outside the camp. And the gospel has been entrusted to us as a source, as the very food and life of the sheep that have been entrusted to us. And even for the enemy, who would consider themselves an enemy but are still a child of God, whosoever will can partake of the gospel to the utter ends of the earth. And how precious is that gospel, that source of life that we've been entrusted to. That in verse 12, that Paul writes that God is able to guard until that day that gospel that he's entrusted to us. But we are called in verse 14 to guard that gospel against all enemies, inside the camp and outside the camp. In order to be a guard, to be sufficient to watch over the lives that are, and the precious things that have been entrusted to our care, We have to keep alert, and we have to persevere to be steadfast in that alertness. Paul writes and commands, keep alert with all perseverance. Part of that being alert and keeping alert is merely being awake, not falling asleep on duty. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of love, plate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Just like watching and prayer are connected in Scripture, so are the writings that Paul and others write about the spiritual weapons and spiritual armor of God that we have. So that is connected with keeping alert and watching also. In the human army, fully equipped soldiers with the best equipment, the most lethal weapons, are utterly useless if they are not alert to the enemy's advance and are not in constant communication with higher command. Sentries who sleep while on duty not only endanger their own lives, everyone who depend upon them for their diligence. It's not that every single soldier has to be alert and awake at all times. No, we fight as a team, just like we've talked about in the series. On guard duty, one man sleeps while the other sentry stands guard. And during the night and during the periods of boredom, during months on end that the enemy does not approach, there still has to be someone on guard duty, watching for the advance of the enemy. While others rest, others stand duty, watching. When one man sleeps, stands guard. And doesn't wait in consideration of the other person. That, oh, I'm not going to wake him up, even though I'm about ready to fall asleep. No, you do your duty. You stay awake, but don't fall asleep without waking up the other person. As a sergeant, I've often come across sleeping soldiers, and they're after waking them up, one of the first responses they have about why they're asleep on duty is, well, I woke up Private Smith, and he must have fallen asleep. It's his fault, not mine, Sergeant. I woke him up. That doesn't work. It does not work. Both soldiers are on duty, in trouble when the guards have fallen asleep. Wake your buddy up if he's asleep and it's his turn to do duty, but you stay awake until he is fully awake and he's fully alert and you know that he's got your back and he's doing his duty to watch over the camp. First part about being alert is simply being awake. But there is that aspect of not only being awake, but have shaken the sleep out of your eyes, that you're just not conscious of not being asleep, but that you're conscious of your surroundings and your environment, and you've been updated to what happened on the previous guy's tour of duty, which may sound like it's just one of those, it's been one of those boring nights like the last several months have been. Or it could be 15 minutes ago, I heard something moving out on the perimeter. Or 15 minutes ago, Sergeant Sims walked by and updated us on intelligence that has come out from the scouts, passes that word to the next guy so that they're fully engaged in the moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. That's the first part about being alert, that you're prepared for action. Not just that you're curled up in your sleeping bag, but your eyes are open, but that you're out of the sleeping bag and you're prepared for action. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also must be holy in all of your conduct. Part of that being alert is being sober, fully engaged in the moment, that nothing is distracting us from watching the perimeter and being diligent to watch over for those that are sleeping and those inside the camp that are working on other things other than keeping their eyes outside towards the advance of the enemy. It must be not only prepared for action, but knowing what that right action might be. One of the things that I've noticed on many a night of guard duty in a tactical environment in training was that when that switchover has occurred from one soldier to the next soldier being on sentry duty, and the new person has come on duty, and instead of being fully prepared for action and fully aware of the latest happenings going on around him, he's just half awake and half prepared. And after a few minutes, while he's trying to keep his chin off of his chest, and there's that continual bobbing movement of, I'm awake, I'm awake, I'm awake, I'm still here, need some coffee, and it goes back and forth. And then out on the perimeter, there's a little bit of movement. Or way out in the distance in the desert, he actually sees a vehicle driving by, and he might even hear the sound of gunfire. And in that moment of one part sleep, one part just barely being awake, he sees the enemy way out in the distance. He hears the sound of what might have been weapons fire. And in that surge of adrenaline, he gets up and fires a returning fire. And he yells to his buddies to get up to his left and his right to get up, get alert, because the enemy's coming. Not realizing the enemy's so far away that they're completely out of range of fire, that prior to his firing a shot and yelling bloody murder, the enemy didn't even know where he was. But he ended up giving away his position. Because though he was somewhat awake, he wasn't fully awake, he wasn't fully aware of the situation. And just as though he had been completely asleep, half measure, that action that he took without being fully prepared and fully conscious of his actions gave away the position and endangered the lives that he's been entrusted with. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. Therefore, Gresham, I just read that. I got wrong notes. we are to be alert and to be sober minded at all times. It's also being, again, aware of your surroundings and being able to take the correct action. Part of that situational awareness or battlefield awareness is knowing the different ways that the enemy can approach and the appropriate action to take. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus said, "Watch for yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life that may come upon you suddenly like a trap." Second John verses 7 through 9, John writes, "Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist." Verse 8 says, watch out for those deceivers. No, it doesn't. John writes, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching, the Father and the Son. First thing that we need to be aware of is our own selves. The way, just like I've been talking about soldiers asleep on duty, are the consequences of acting without fully being prepared and aware and alert to the situation and the danger that can bring. Understand, and just be knowledgeable of that, to understand that our flesh is weak and you have to be on guard. And we do the things as sentries on duty that we need to do to keep ourselves awake. Whether that might be calling in ever so often on the radio to do a radio check, if for no other reason, don't get me wrong, you're not calling in a radio check every other minute. That can get very frustrating for all parties involved. But at some point, at a certain interval, you simply get on your radio and you call in to the headquarters simply to check. And that's part of, for Christian soldiers, that's simply a really quick prayer. Abba, Father in heaven, your name be glorified, your kingdom advance, your will be done, and oh, by the way, everything's quiet in my sector. Do you have anything for me? Same way that you might do a radio check for a higher headquarters, depending upon the time of the night and the likelihood of an enemy attack, sergeants and commanders don't just have one guard on duty. They increase due to the threat analysis, they increase the percentage of the soldiers that are going to be alert. Because they know if they have two soldiers alert, awake and alert in a foxhole, they can help keep each other duty while the third person sleeps. Just as an example, there are things that we do as leaders and soldiers do on guard duty. We do whatever is necessary to keep ourselves awake and alert and aware of the approach of the enemy. So we're aware of our own weaknesses before and as much as we are aware of the advance of the enemy. But speaking of being aware of the advance of the enemy, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter writes that we should be sober-minded. But before he even writes that, he writes that we should be humble. That we should, in other words, as we talked about in the past, submit ourselves to authority in all humility. In other words, being alert, on guard duty, in this particular example, because you've been given that authority and that responsibility by the chain of command, and that they, knowing that they are going to hold the guard accountable for his actions. The first thing on guard duty is to be aware of just how important the command values and needs an alert guard. And because of that humbleness, we're sober-minded, we're alert, and we're aware, as well as being awake, and we're watchful for ourselves and because of the adversary that's prowling around. And we're conscious not just of the 100 meters to our front that we've been assigned to if we're out on sentry duty, but we're aware at all times, unless we've specifically been given a time of rest, to the enemy and watching each other's backs. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 14 adds a different aspect to being awake and alert and aware. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who notice these words have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. One of the things that helps if you're on guard duty is to be aware of the tactical situation. That means of any friendly movement that might be out to your front, so that you don't end up shooting them in that haze, that fog of war. It's also to be aware of the tactics of the enemy. Like that example I gave of the vehicle driving by out in the distant desert that was firing off a round of weapons fire every once in a while. When I trained in the Cold War to go up against the Soviet Union, the tactics of the Soviet Union was just that. They would send out a three-vehicle patrol in advance of the lead element of the main force. And the whole reason for that three-vehicle patrol was simply to drive through and see if their enemy, us, was dumb enough to give away their position by returning that fire. And that happened at nighttime more often than not. They would drive through with a spotlight on that vehicle, and that light coming across your position, if you were somewhat, that wasn't enough, they'd fire that round every once in a while to say, here am I, please go ahead and shoot at me. So being aware of enemy tactics could keep us in that situation from giving away our position. Likewise, in a spiritual contest with our enemy, the devil, we should be aware of his devices and his tactics, how he is going to try to make us give away our position or to reveal our weaknesses and to take advantage of them. And the only way to do that, though it helps to read the book, it takes time and practice to discern good and evil. Not good and evil as I may think it is, but in my own concept of good and evil, but that distinguishing good and evil as revealed in the Word of God. So in being a soldier on guard duty, in the spirit, fully enrobed in the whole armor of God, and wielding the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, keeping alert. We have to keep alert while we're in that spiritual contest. We also have to do it with perseverance. It's one thing to be alert when you just had a cup of coffee at 10 p.m., right at the start of the evening watch. It's another thing to be awake and alert and so much so that you're fully aware of the advance of the enemy and the right action to take when it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And your body is naturally telling you that, buckaroo, it's time to be asleep. What are you doing awake? And it's one thing to be awake and alert and aware, fully aware on the first night of guard duty, on your very first night of being in country in harm's way. And it's another thing to do that after you've been in country for months. And every single night through the entire deployment in country, the enemy has been sound asleep also in their home. Haven't even probed the perimeter once. And in that calmness and in that sheer boredom and in the habits formed night after night that, there's no enemy to be worrying about. I can catch a little bit of sleep. Sergeant Sims isn't going to know it. There's nothing to worry about. On that night, the enemy comes. And that's the night that we needed to be persevering, to be alert on guard duty. What does persevering mean? Their definition of it, according to Merriam-Webster, perseverance means steadfastness in doing something difficult. Correction, steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. It's one thing to be alert when it's easy. What we're called to do is to be a watchman on the wall, to be shepherds of the flock, to pray for others despite the difficulty and the unending boredom and delay of anything exciting. In order to be steadfast, in order to persevere, soldiers are trained repetitively in marksmanship, tactics, sneaks, battle drills, and standing operating procedures, otherwise known as SOPs. Plus, they must be physically and mentally conditioned to endure the extreme demands placed upon them in battle. During Army training, a soldier sometimes grumbled about these conditions as practicing being miserable. Soldiers spend many hours maintaining all of their equipment so to perform in the few deadly minutes of combat in the face of enemy fire. In order to persevere in those deadly minutes of combat, you have to be trained and conditioned and have endurance built over hours and days and months of years of training before you have to face the enemy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is very familiar to us now in this series. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, or in other words, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Soldiers have to endure hard training day after day, month after month, and year after year, and then find themselves in the midst of deployment and away from those comforts of home that they knew back in the States, even having to go to the restroom isn't going to a nice, comfortable porcelain toilet. Going to a latrine that's just a slip cut in the desert, or it's going to a temporary building made with plywood with 55 gallon drums that have been cut in half. They have to be cleaned out day by day by hand and set afire and burn with diesel. But that smell of human waste combined with the smell of diesel permeate that entire camp. And they have to endure that day after day after day of boredom before the enemy comes. To do that on deployment requires training beforehand. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete," we could also say a soldier, "exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Or if we're going to use that soldier's example, soldiers do it in a little small way to have that little medal on their chest or their certificate on the wall when they get back home. But we do it to receive an eternal reward. Verse 26, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Part of that being aware on sentry duty is being aware of the weaknesses of human flesh. And the way that you can counter that is before you're ever on that guard duty, is to do everything necessary to strengthen that flesh. Paul writes that he disciplines, even Paul writing that he's running a spiritual race, and he's fighting a spiritual battle, says he disciplines his body, his flesh, to keep it under control so that he wouldn't be disqualified in the end. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, Paul writes to young Timothy, "Having nothing to do with irreverent silliness, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and desiring of full acceptance." Yes, we can exercise and discipline our flesh, but we can exercise our spiritual strength, our spiritual godliness. That we, by definition of godliness, are like God, that we have in Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have that same strength as Christ when he walked the earth. And as we studied in Ephesians, that inside us is the same power with which God raised Christ from the dead in us. But we can't access that power without discipline and without exercise and training ourselves to not only just have that inside, that godliness inside us, but that godliness manifested into our weakest areas of ourself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, also a familiar text from this series. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, make the most out of what you've been given. Just like we work out our bodies in a gym, work out the salvation. Make the most of the salvation that Christ has bought us with. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Yes, the divine power of God who raised Christ from the dead is at work in us, but we have part of that process. We have responsibility to take that and make use of it, to work out, make the most of our salvation. Not just when it's easy, but day after day. Not just when it's exciting, but day after day in the midst of boredom and routine. So that they were prepared in that day of battle. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, the writer of Hebrews writes, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish." And how easy it is to become sluggish. Christian, the writer of Hebrews says, "Don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Paul has a testimony of that faith and patience in his testimony of the apostles, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. Paul writes, "I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We labor, working with our hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." Beloved, are you living in comfort, in wisdom, strength, and in honor? Well, praise God. But there may be coming a day in the near future that you and I are called to be fools, will be made to be weak, will be held in disrepute, that we will hunger and thirst, that we'll be poorly dressed, buffeted, and homeless, that will be reviled, persecuted, and slandered. The only way to endure on that day would be faithful in the training and conditioning and the practicing of being faithful and steadfast today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verses 3 through 7. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience, in other words, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. The sufferings of Christ and the sufferings of the apostles aren't just a matter of history of what happened 1,000 years ago. It's not just a history and the news reports of Christianity on the front lines that are enduring persecution. It's a call that will affect every last one of us that find our salvation in Christ. As we suffer with him, so shall we be glorified with him. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And then again in verse 12, James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In other words, James is writing that through practice, days of training and conditioning, of being faithful in the small trials, builds the patience and the steadfastness for the days of difficulty that are ahead. My beloved friend, my brother and sister, are you undergoing a trial today that you have no idea why you're having to endure it? I don't have the answer. Maybe this is the big test you're facing. But could it also be that the only reason that you're undergoing today's trial is that in the future, you may need some strength to face unimaginable difficulties? Or maybe you're undergoing suffering and trials so that you have the strength and the faith necessary to comfort a fellow believer when they undergo something as bad as what you're walking through today, and maybe something worse. James writes, continuing in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love them." Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Sometimes the small difficulties, small hills that have to be climbed today are preparing us for the future. Sometimes it's merely God's tool to form us character that produces faith and hope and utter reliance, not on our own strength, not on our knowledge but on His. Not only our resources, but everything that God can bring to the table that is beyond our thoughts and dreams. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Paul prayed for the church at Colossae and us. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. There's one thing in the quiet hours of the night, after hours and days and months on guard duty, to have just enough endurance to keep our eyes open. And it's a completely something else to be so energized by the duty that we've been entrusted with by our commander, that we take for privilege the duty of standing on guard duty so that our fellow brothers and sisters can work in safety and can sleep in safety. And to do that job with everything that our commander has entrusted with us, with full joy, thankfulness that God has entrusted us with a precious gift. That our commander, Jesus Christ, has entrusted us with the gospel. The good news. To those who would receive it by faith, and those who may one day see the light. Let us be faithful. Let us keep alert, not just in the easy times, but in the difficult times. Let us keep alert with all perseverance while we stand guard, while we pray for our brothers and sisters, while we proclaim the gospel to those that would hear, to warn our brothers and sisters when they may be sleeping when they shouldn't be sleeping, to encourage those that are half awake but not fully alert and fully aware of their own weaknesses and the advance of the enemy when he's least expected. Oh, let us be faithful. Let us stand. Let us pray. Let us resist the enemy, not in our strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ. May God bless you in the battle. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. You can find more information at our website, www.battlefocused.org. And connect with us at our Facebook and Twitter pages, each named Battle Focus. Be sure to check out our Spiritual Warfare Battle Tracking Matrix. You can download the PDF file free of charge. This broadcast has been a production of Battle Focus Ministries, equipping Christian saints for spiritual warfare. Until next time, may the grace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.